as we close out 2024, having just celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I want us to look at this one last thought of overflowing with love. Amen. Last week, Pastor Savage did a great job of bringing together those four attributes around the Advent that we emphasize, those of hope, peace, joy, and love. And he talked about it from his own personal experience to remind us that God is real and personal, and he meets us right where we are. Today, we just want to again emphasize God's love for us. And hopefully we can grasp, we can get an inclination of what that means. Minister Godwin did a great job of expressing that love, talking about grace and what God has done and how she leaned upon that grace all week long as God has given her new revelations about his grace. How he shows up when you and I least expect it and in ways that we did not predict nor anticipate. Because what we've learned is that you cannot put God in a box unless it's a manger. Amen.
Amen.
If it's a manger, it's all right.
Yeah.
To lay it.
That's right.
In a box. Because that box spoke volumes about the love of God. Amen. And so that's what we are going to look at just for the next few minutes. I have to tell you, I just wanted to spend some more time in worship. But I didn't want to put unnecessary pressure on me. Do you know that? Well, I thought the Holy Spirit would have told you. Look at all of them doing this. You should have said something. Amen. Amen. I saw some of you searching. I hope you found Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And what I'd like for you to do is stand with me as we are going to read this together. These couple of verses that were written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. As he shared with them his heart and told them one of the things that he was praying for them was about love. It's a prayer that I believe is one that you and I should pray for one another. So after we have read this, after we have preached today, this is one of those that I would love for you to mark, highlight, stick into your memory bank, and begin to pray for us, your sisters and your brothers in Christ, that this will become our testimony and our experience. Amen. Amen. Let's begin with verse number 9, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 9. Let's read. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we want to talk about overflowing with love. On last week, when Pastor Savage reached that fourth attribute and characteristic, love, He reminded us that the love that God talks about, that the love that God emphasizes, is not the kind of romantic love that many often think about when they hear the word love. He referenced one of the four Greek words that is used to interpret love in the Greek language, that romantic love from the Greek word eros. You're also familiar with brotherly love. He said the kind of love that we were talking about was an agape love. That word agape is the word that is used in verse number 9 when Paul says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more. Not I pray that you will have more romantic feelings toward one another. He wasn't caught up in that. He wasn't saying, I want you to go sign up on a dating app so that you can find love. That's not what he said. Not what he said. He said, I want your agape to overflow. Agape love, you can't define agape love from a human perspective because agape love does not have its source based in human experience. In order to understand agape love, you've got to go to the source, which is God, the one who is love. That scripture that we read earlier, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, talks about God is love. Not just that God loves, but God is love. It's his essence. It's his nature. He can't help but love. You know how it is. If you want to take a sponge and you want to take that sponge and put it in some vinegar. When you pull that sponge out of the vinegar and you begin to squeeze, what is it that you expect to come out of the sponge? Vinegar. Because it has been soaked in vinegar. It has been saturated in vinegar. And so what is inside of it is going to come out of it. In the same way, because God is love. When you deal with God and when God deals with you, he deals with you out of love. Oh, if you and I could get that deep down in the citadels of our heart, it will make a difference in the way we approach and deal with God. For Paul also said in Romans that because you and I are in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation for those of us who believe. That means that even when I stumble and fall, I can boldly approach the throne of what? Grace. To receive grace and mercy because I messed up. Amen? And it is out of God's love. That is the position in which God deals with us. In fact, it says that those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about the wrath of God. Why is that? Because God's wrath was satisfied by Jesus' death. Jesus took care of the wrath of God. And so for every man, woman, boy, or girl who says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died. And when he died, he took on himself the weight of my sins. I believe that his death was sufficient to pay the debt that I owe, and therefore I no longer have to worry about the debt of sin that I carry. By the way, that is what God's wrath is directed at, is sin.
That's right.
But his love has been directed at all those who will trust in his provision, in his gift called Jesus. I love that. Minister God, when you said, God reminded you that you have Jesus. And here's the good news. He's free.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't have to go on to Amazon and say, can I get this in 2 days? 2 days. Amen. You ain't got to walk through Target looking on the aisles. I need me a box of Jesus. No. You won't find him on Amazon. You won't find him in Target because he cannot be bought. He is a free gift given by God as an expression of his love. When you and I receive, when you and I accept him, then we have received the greatest gift ever given to humanity. And it, he, I should say, is the gift that keeps on giving. You can't exhaust him. Amen. He keeps on giving over and over and over again. And it is God's desire that you and I overflow with love. And if we are overflow with love, we cannot do it then from a human perspective. Remember, we talked about the idea of overflowing. This word that God just keeps pressing in upon me is that he wants us to be by his spirit overflowing with the things that come from his spirit.
Yes.
He wants us to be overflowing with hope. So when you meet that individual who has no hope, you got hope. And the reason you have hope is because you have Jesus. He wants us to be overflowing with peace. So that in your home becomes a place of peace. Amen?
Yes.
That wherever you go, you carry peace. He wants you to be a peacemaker because you are a child of God. And he wants you to be overflowing with peace. Not a human kind of peace, but he wants you to receive your peace from the source that never, ever runs out. He wants you to have the kind of peace that does not matter. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You're still at peace. Because you made up in your mind. If God is with me, he is more than the whole world against me. Therefore, I have peace. I want to repeat one of the phrases that Pastor Savage gave last week as he was talking about his experience and start thinking about what they were going to do in terms of treating him. He kept saying, no matter what, it's going to be okay. No matter what, it's going to be okay. I like that definition to think about peace when you're in the middle of mess and trouble, that no matter what, it's gonna be okay. It's not gonna be okay because I have an adequate supply of resources. It's not gonna be okay because I have all strength and power. It's not gonna be okay because I got good connections and I know the right person. No. It's going to be okay because God is with me. That's why it's going to be okay. And he has promised, never will I leave you nor forsake you. No weapon that has been formed against you is going to prosper because I'm with you. And so no matter what the storm looks like, you can say it's going to be okay. And it is God's desire that you and I have that kind of attitude and temperament so that when we engage others and they are talking about the trauma that they are experiencing, because we are overflowing with peace, they will leave us not in a worse condition, but in a better condition because we have shared with them the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ himself, who is able to bring peace to every terrible situation. Amen? Not only does he want us overflowing with hope, overflowing with peace, but he also wants us overflowing with what? Joy.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
It's the kind of joy that even in the midst of loss, even in the midst of mourning, I still have joy. Doesn't mean that I don't hurt, but in the midst of my hurting, I've got joy. The kind of joy that you say, trouble may last for a nighttime, or weeping may last for a nighttime, but what? Joy comes in the morning. It's the kind of joy that you embrace, knowing that when you are weak, you say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Kind of joy that no one can take from you because they didn't have the privilege of giving it to you. It ain't the kind of joy that you get just because you got a raise. You know, if they give you a raise, you do know.
Amen.
Yeah. They'll come back. Yeah. Try to take it from you. They will. But when your joy is not based on that, when you have another source for your joy, you can get happy about the raise and be like Grayson, Jesus did that. Yeah. That was the work of Jesus in my life, moving up on you to give me what he promised me out of you. Amen.
Amen.
And so I'm filled with joy. And I've got a joy that you can't tamper with, and I'm overflowing with joy so that I become contagious. You know what we talked about being, when you're overflowing, that means you splash on people. Amen? You splashing. But you're the light of the world, remember? See, you're the salt. You're the light. That in order for the thing that you are to bring salt and light to means that you've got to come in contact with it. You need to be splashing on some men.
There you go.
All right.
Bringing some flavor to their life and some joy.
Yeah.
And a joy that is not based upon the fact that I've got it all together. On the fact that all of my needs have been met. No. Even in the midst of this life, which says that in this world you're going to have trouble. Jesus said, take heart, I've overcome this world. And because of that, you have a joy on the inside of you that bubbles and wells up, and you just can't keep it to yourself. It's the kind of joy that makes you smile. You ain't got no reason for smiling.
Amen?
It's that kind of joy that keeps you from being sour. But we need to spread that,
though.
Yes. Amen? We need to spread that kind of joy that helps people get rid of the sour expressions, the sour looks, the sour. Just sour. Sour stinks, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen. And again, these are things that are not coming from human resources, natural resources. God says he wants us to be overflowing, which means that he wants his spirit having full control in our lives. Which means that you and I must want what he wants. And so you and I got to move to the place of God. Why don't you just take over? God, I want so much of you that you are spewing out of me, overflowing out of me, God, because you have filled me up. Now, this is the difficult part. That's what God wants, but what is it that you want? Because God says, in order for you to receive what I want, I need your participation with me. I want you to have it, but if you're not going to cooperate, you won't receive it. The Bible says this in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that no one would perish, but instead have everlasting eternal life. It is God's desire that no man, no woman, no person, no individual would perish. But in order for you to receive what God wants, in order for you, for God's will to be accomplished, you must, an individual must receive the gift of Jesus Christ. Know Jesus, N-O, no salvation. If you're not willing to accept the gift of Jesus Christ, you are rejecting God's perfect gift and his invitation to be in relationship with him. But John says, there is only one way. John 14 and 6, there is only one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through Jesus. So if you're not willing to accept Jesus, then you are no longer willing to receive what God has for you. And so there must be participation with God in order to receive from God what God wants you to have. If you choose not to participate, don't expect what God has in store for you. Amen?
Amen.
We call that also the acquisition of God's will by faith. Meaning that you can only receive from God by faith. It is by faith that we receive Jesus Christ, therefore we receive salvation. And likewise, everything that we receive from God comes by faith. God says, in order for you to receive what I have for you, you need to exercise your faith. No faith is going to be left on the shelf. Amen? That's the reality. God's love is not so much that he loves us enough to give it to us even when we won't act right. Even when we won't do right. God loves you enough to be patient and to put enough pressure in your life that you're going to want to do right and act right. Amen? That's what God's love looks like. His love looks like I'm going to keep increasing the intensity until you realize that I'm the one you need. That I am the answer to your problem. That I am the one that can give you hope. That I am the one that can give you peace. That I am the one that can give you joy. And that I am the one that can love you the way you want to be loved. When you and I get to the place to where we say, yes, God, I trust you. Then on the receiving end, we can then receive what God has promised for us. This prayer that Paul prays, he says, I pray that your agape, your love from God, will overflow more and more. I pray that your agape, the unconditional love that God has shown to you, will overflow more and more. And that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. Paul is saying that you need to understand that your love must grow. That it can't stay the same. That God accepts you and me just as we are. He says, come to me just as you are. Don't clean yourself up. Don't try to make yourself better. Just come to me just as you are.
Yeah.
I already see you. And by the way, when you get through cleaning yourself up with your dirty rag, you still going to be dirty.
Come on.
So come to me just as you are. And so he has his arms open wide, ready to receive us just as we are. And when we come to him, he receives us. But here's the kicker. He says, come to me just as you are, but don't think I'm going to leave you there.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
That's almost like picking up a baby with a dirty diaper. Would it be loving to leave that stinky, dirty diaper on that baby? You take to the baby, come on. You taking the baby just as the baby is. Nose turned up. Amen. You rushing and saying, woo, we got to do something. But you won't leave the baby in that dirty diaper. Even if you don't like changing them, you will. Amen?
Amen?
It becomes an expression of your love and your care. And God says to you, I'm going to receive you and accept you just as you are, but I'm not going to leave you that way. So come, and let me do my work in you to bring about change and transformation in your life. He says, in order for that to happen, you must grow in your knowledge and your understanding. That means that you've got to be developing a better understanding of who God is. And that's what relationship does, right? When you're in a relationship with God, God is revealing to you who he is. You're getting to know him better and better as you are in a relationship with him, as you are experiencing intimacy with you, with him. God is revealing to you who he is. And as God reveals to you who he is, you are growing then in your knowledge of who God is. It is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 19, where Paul prays another prayer. But it is in verse 17 that I want to bring to your attention one of the specific things that Paul prays for regarding this is now the believers at Ephesus. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. God wants you to know him better, and so God has given you his spirit so that you can know him better, because you only know God by the Spirit. It is by the Spirit that he reveals who he is. And so Paul is saying, I pray then that he will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better than you knew him before, so that you may know him with accuracy, so that you may know him with completeness, so that you may know him as he is, so that can't anybody trip you up with their false interpretation of who God is, so that they can't lie to you about who they think God is, because you know who he is. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. That God, when he called you with hope. And he said the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And in verse 19, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul is simply saying, I need you to grow in your knowledge of God. It has been revealed to you that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son just for you. That God loved us first, and he demonstrated his love by sending his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus loved us enough to lay down his life that he would pay the debt for our sins. His sacrifice was an atoning sacrifice, which meant that it met the qualifications of God. Paul is saying, I want you to know this. You need to know that your sin has been dealt with. Amen? So don't let anybody throw it in your face again.
That's right.
Because you are not to walk in guilt. In fact, you need to know that your sin has been dealt with, so stop sinning. We don't want to hear that part, right? The fact that you were a liar has been dealt with. Now stop lying. The fact that you had a problem keeping your hands to yourself, to your own stuff, and you were stealing everybody else's stuff, your sin has been dealt with. Stop stealing. The fact that you had no control over your body, and you would allow yourself to be caught up with all kind of whims and fancies and doing whatever you thought you was big enough to do, that's who you were, is not who you are, because God has placed his spirit in you. And you know that one of the fruits of his spirit is self-control.
Yes.
Self-control says, I may feel like this, but just because I feel like this doesn't mean that I gotta act on it. And since you are no longer a liar, you can't say the devil made me do it. No, it was you refusing to heed to the warnings and to the call of the Spirit of God in your life that was reminding you that's not who you are. You busy talking about what I am right now. That's not who you are. God is a forgiving God. God is also a just God. That's not who you are. Your job and my job is to yield to the Spirit so that we can experience God's best for our lives. He's like, I want you to grow in the knowledge of who you are. I want you to grow in the knowledge of who God is. And I want you to begin to live like who you are. In fact, it is in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. He says, follow God's example as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God and walk in his love. In verse 10 of Philippians chapter 1, he says, I want you to really understand what matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. This expression of God's love is so that you can be all that God created you to be. Back in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says that I am convinced that what God has started in you, he will also bring to completion. That when God saved you and redeemed you, and God began the work of sanctification in your life, he's also going to bring you to a point of glorification. That when God put his spirit inside of you and then began to stir up in you the gifts that he had placed in you, God is going to make sure that you have an expression for those gifts that he has placed inside of you. That I am convinced that what God started in you, he'll bring to completion so that you can live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. That I want you to finish what God has started in you. That you don't get halfway and throw it in the towel. I want you to go all the way. And what God has done for you and me, he has given us his spirit so that we can fulfill his mission for our lives. God has said, I know this is too much for you to handle on your own. And so I want you overflowing with my spirit, so that you then can be all that I have called you to be. Remember, it was in Romans 14, 17 when we learned that the kingdom of God is what? Not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God wants you and me overflowing with love, because love becomes the greatest expression of who he is. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, we learn that there are what? Faith, hope, and love. It says if everything else is going on, these three will remain. Faith, hope, and love. But then he says the greatest of these is love. Everything else will pass away, but love will remain. Why? Because love is that expression of God. It is who he is. It is eternal. And he says that he wants us to be the kind of people that love the way that he loves. In fact, this is so critical. God says that if you're going to owe anybody, you need to owe them the continuing debt of love. Amen? He said, if you're going to have any debt at all, it's just going to be the debt of love. Don't owe anybody forgiveness, right? You know how some people store that up? I ain't ready to forgive you yet. Oh, well, some people that I know act like that. Their hurts cut so deep sometimes that it takes a while for them to get to the place where they feel like they can say, I forgive the individual who hurt me or who offended me. And so until I feel like I'm ready to actually forgive you, I'm going to withhold that forgiveness from you until I feel like I can really do it with a sincere heart, because I don't want to be fake. I got to keep it real. I want to tell you I forgave you, but you know, deep down inside, I'm still harboring something. I'm hoping that something happened to you. No, I'm saying I know y'all don't know people like that, because y'all holy and y'all don't deal with people with flesh on them. I mean, y'all, everybody y'all know woke up this morning with their mind stayed on you. But the people in my house, oops, I'm sorry. We stumble over each other sometimes. Amen. We get offended with each other sometimes. Sometimes we're like, wait a minute, now ain't it time. Right? Because we got a feeling. While a part of that is true, you do know that forgiveness has nothing to do with your feelings, right? While I'm playing with it and joking with it, you do know that it's not how you feel. Forgiveness is actually an act of obedience that God gave to you and to me to say that you need to make sure that you forgive so that there is nothing that is in your heart that will prevent the flow of his spirit from operating and working in your life. Forgiveness is a gift that God gave to you to make sure that the power that comes from on high continues to flow in your life unrestricted so that you can be overflowing with all that he has given you. And when you allow unforgiveness to take residence in your heart, what it does, unforgiveness comes in and thinks that it owns the place. We'll call Lowe's and order up some wood to build a dam. I got a building project that'll work. Can you send me some cement too? Because I need to make sure this thing is sturdy. And unforgiveness will try to set up in your heart, build a dam to block the flow of God's love, to block the flow of God's spirit. And when that happens, what that means is now you become clogged up. Dare I say spiritually, constantly. All because you have allowed this thing to set up in your heart. Because you didn't feel like it. Jesus said this, the one who loves me is the one who will obey me. He didn't say the one who loves me is the one who will feel like obeying me. He said the one who will obey me. He says that when you obey me, you demonstrate your love for me, and in a reciprocating form, I'll show you my love. And so if Jesus says that you and I are to forgive, that means that you and I are to forgive. How many times do I need to forgive that individual that keep acting like they don't know what they're doing and just keep stepping all over me. Surely three times is enough. First time, shame on. Oh, y'all know about that. I ain't got nothing but two cheeks. Stop me on the expressions, bro. Stop me on one cheek. I can turn the other, but wait a minute. You get that other cheek. It's on. You got one more time. A lot of cheeks. Jesus said to Peter, no, you stop counting the number of times that you forgive your brother or your sister. He says, I want you to forgive your brother or your sister up to seven times. Seven? Seven. Oh, my goodness. You ain't got that many fingers, huh? How about that? He said, that's right, you're not supposed to count. He says, because if you forgive those who offend you, he says, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. And what that is really about is making sure that there is no obstruction in your heart, no obstruction in your life that is going to prevent the power of God from flowing in you and through you. Because that's the most important thing that happens. God sent his Spirit to us so that we can live in such a manner that we can carry out his will. So that we can live in love. And if God's Spirit ain't operating in you, you can't live in love. Amen. If all you got is your wisdom operating in you, it's going to fall short. If all you have is your patience operating in you, it will not be enough. But when you have God's Spirit in you, he offers an endless, unlimited supply of everything that you and I need, including forgiveness. So we walk in it so that God's power is free to flow in us. One of these days, we'll talk a little bit more, because that's a huge thing when we start talking about forgiveness. Some folks talk about forgive and forget. And when you forget something, right, you have a medical condition, right, that they want to treat you for. Right? Amen. I'm going to forget. No. You're going to forgive and stop trying to practice that. If I hadn't forgotten about it, I haven't forgiven. See, you're living in a lie. Listen, when you are in relationship with folk that can get close enough to you to hurt you, that they need forgiveness, that stuff comes, right? And you and I know, you and I both know that hurt has with it an emotional component that actually stamps whatever that thing is. It stamps it on the brain. It stamps it in the mind. It stamps it so that when you smell certain stuff, it reminds you of what so-and-so did or said. Remember Peter? He was warming himself by the charcoal fire. And Jesus had told him, you want to deny me three times. Peter said, no, you got the wrong brother. I'm the real deal. For everybody else, leave you hanging, yo, baby, I got your back. He said, yeah, you want to deny me three times. Listen, rooster gonna crow. When you hear the rooster crow, it's gonna come back to you that you thought too highly of yourself. Sure enough, he's there warming himself by the fire. All of that happens just the way Jesus said it happens. Peter gets so bad that he starts cussing, talking about, I told you, I don't know the man, don't you make me put, I mean, I already cut off one ear tonight. I can do it again. Right? Just about that time, the rooster crows and Peter said, oh, and he leaves, wounded and hurt. Jesus is then crucified, but death cannot hold Jesus, so the grave got to let him go. Jesus is raised from the dead, and when he is raised from the dead, he starts to show himself to his disciples and say, I told you, everybody else is going to be rejoicing while you're reading, but then you're going to rejoice again because you see me. Here I am. And one day, Jesus, Peter kind of goes out. He's fishing. Because he's like, man, I can't handle this no more. He's fishing. While he's out fishing, he catches a large load of fish, right? Because somebody at the shore tells him to throw his net on the other side. And he makes the catch, he realizes, man, this is deja vu. I've been here before. He says, that's Jesus up there. So Peter jumps out of the boat because he's got to run to Jesus, right? He's running to Jesus. He gets to the shore, and Jesus said, did you catch anything? He said, you know, he did, right? And Jesus is there. He's cooking breakfast for him. He's got some fish cooking on the grill. Right? Because that thing that Peter did was over a fire. And it was etched. It was etched in it. And now the thing that Jesus is getting ready to do for Peter is over a fire. And it's going to wipe out all that other stuff. Because he says to Peter, do you love me more than these? He said, yeah, you know I love you. He said, well, feed my sheep. Peter said, it's cool, we good, man. Jesus back on speaking terms. He didn't cook me some breakfast, and then he didn't tell me to feed them. And then Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Didn't you just ask me that? But I'm hearing you, yeah, you know I love you. I really do. I love you. Feed my lamb. He said, okay. Can I go ahead now and eat? Because this is not good. Can I eat this? He takes a bite. Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all know that ain't in the scripture, right? I just added that. Took a bite. You gotta make that good these days. He's like, man, that preacher was up there talking about Jesus to Peter took a bite. That ain't nowhere in the Bible. Then Jesus asked him another time, Do you love me? But this time, now Peter, who had committed the offense before, is grieved because he feels like, Jesus, you know I love you. Why have you asked me this three times? What Peter didn't realize is that Jesus was restoring him. Jesus was giving him forgiveness for betraying his trust. Because Jesus had already said, this is what you're going to do. But Peter, in the experience, felt it and was wounded because when he did it, he knew that it was rejection of the one who had loved him so much. And so now Jesus is taking and restoring him because God knows the hurt of your heart. God can meet you where the hurt of your heart is, and he can restore you in such a way that you ain't got to worry about forgetting it. Oh, listen to me. When God heals you, you can talk about the pain. You can talk about what so-and-so did, because now it has become a part of your testimony. And we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and what? By the word of our testimony. And so now I can tell you about how they did me wrong. And like Joseph, you can say this, what they meant for evil, God intended it and used it for good. That's why I can tell you about what I went through without getting all messed up.
Yeah.
I didn't forget it. It's been redeemed. Mm-hmm. I didn't forget it. It's been covered by the blood. Yeah. I didn't forget it. I got a new view and a new perspective because the Spirit of the living God lives in me, and he helps me to see things the same way he sees them. I ain't got amnesia. I ain't crazy. I ain't losing my mind. And you need to know that that thing that you did to me, and I'm still interacting with you like I love you, it ain't because I forgot what you did. It's because God has loved me so much, and he has filled me up with so much of his love that I've said that I can love you the same way that he loved me.
Yes. Grace, grace.
Oh, come on, help me preach. And it says that when you and I don't allow stuff to get in the way of the work of God's Spirit in our lives, that he then will use his Spirit to help produce in us things that are overflowing unto others so that their lives are blessed and we are set free.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He says that he wants our lives overflowing with love. Last thing, and I'll stop, because God says this. How can you claim to love God, whom you have never seen, but yet you treat the folk right next to you? He says that your love for him must be expressed in your relationship to others. Amen?
Amen?
He said that if you claim that you love him, but you hate everybody else, I just don't like people.
Amen.
He said you're not speaking truth.
Amen.
That in order to love God, you must love your fellow man. You must love people. And then he says, it is a love that must be expressed through your behavior. It's a love that sometimes is expressed through your gifts. Amen? Sometimes your love has money attached to it. Amen? Amen? Hey, come on, y'all don't want to let your money go. You work too hard for that. Sometimes your love has to be expressed through time. Amen? Sometimes it's expressed through time. Sometimes your love is expressed through your presence. Amen? But love must have an expression that moves beyond you just vocalizing that you love. He says that your love must be demonstrated.
Amen.
Love is what? Patient. Love is kind. Somebody help me out. Love is what?
Gentle.
You said forgiving. Amen. Is what? Is what? It keeps no record of wrong. Okay. It's patient. I said that one, but go ahead. Is another what?
Forbearing.
You say self-control. Is what? It's not puffed up. Amen. Now, y'all don't know what love is. You caught me off guard, Pastor. I wasn't ready.
God loved
us first, so then we're loving one another with our patience. Is it 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is. It's good, man. That's good. The fruit of the Spirit, though, is what? Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Gentleness. Goodness and self-control. Amen?
That's the one.
That's the one. That's Galatians, right? That was nine. That was nine. So that when you have the Spirit of God in you, that's what God is producing in your life. At the top of that list is love. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul does this listing of the characteristics of what love is. Some behaviors that love does not promote. does not boast. Then he talks about how love is persevering. Yeah, rejoices. Love is present. And he's saying that you and I need to be overflowing with love. That is one thing to say, I love God. And in fact, that was the first and most important commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Then he said the second one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. You must love God first, for in loving God first, then God gives you his love by his Spirit. And when he has done that, now you become able and capable of loving others. With the kind of, what we call that word, agape, unconditional love that God loved us with. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prayed these words. I pray that you be rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's the kind of love. That's the quantity of love that God wants us to have. It's a love that's so wide, a love that has both depth, it has those dimensions that you can't get around it. And he says that by his Spirit, you too can overflow with love. Amen.
Amen.
You bow your heads with me. Father, we stand in your presence. You and all knowing God. Realizing, oh Father, that you see all and that you know all, that there is nothing that we can hide from you. So first, we thank you that you being an all-powerful, sovereign God, you are also a loving God. And that we don't have to fear your power because you choose to operate in love. We thank you, O God, that we can trust that you won't abuse us. We can trust that you will be kind to us. We can trust, God, that you will take care of us because you love us. Thank you for loving us enough to send your Son, Jesus Christ, that he then could bear our burdens. He could bear the weight of our sin. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for washing away all of our sins and our filth and making us like new creations before you. Thank you for filling us with your Spirit, the Spirit who examines our hearts, the Spirit who does not allow deception to set into our hearts, but who reveals and shows truth. We thank you. Now we simply ask that you will speak to us as we measure our love quotient, that you will speak to us. And if we are not loving in a manner that is befitting of your love, will you help us? Help us first to see it. Give us firm examples of what we look like. Then Give us the strength and courage to repent and seek your face, to welcome your spirit, so that we can be washed, purified, to live blameless lives in this world that so often pulls at us to walk away from you. And so, Father, right now in this moment, will you speak to each one of us? Regarding our quotient, our measure of love, and then will you help us to grow by pouring your spirit fresh in you upon us. In Jesus' name.